I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, it's great to be back now with Dave Radigan, owner of Scamps Comedy Productions, as well as an educator. And Dave, welcome back on this frigid second day of March.
It certainly is. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well, Dave, and I want to get to how you're doing. But first, I have to mention this. I was trying to dial your number just a few minutes ago to get ready for the interview here. And I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but I've had dreams, more likely nightmares, wherein I can't dial a number. Whether it's an emergency, I want to call 911, or I want to call my wife, or whatever it is. But in the dream, I'm unable to complete a phone call. And generally, it's with the old rotary phone. So I don't know what that means. I know you're not a psychologist, but any experience with that?
I don't. I have trouble remembering numbers.
Yeah.
I don't remember anybody's number except mine, mm-hmm. my parents, or my mom's. Mm-hmm. My dad passed away. But it's funny because, yeah, none of the other numbers, I don't know any of the other numbers because these days we just put them in our phones. We just program
exactly.
them. But I think maybe I've never had that dream. You had a dream where you couldn't finish 911?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the reason I'm mentioning that because I was having trouble dialing your number right now, and I'm thinking, what, am I having another stroke? I don't know, with all the different things. But you're right. If someone asks me sometimes about what my cell phone number is, sometimes I have to look it up because I don't generally use it. So all those numbers, you're right. In fact, with yours, I had to... I do have it in my phone, but that's not a bad thing where you don't have to remember all that stuff.
Right. It's not. I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad. I think I teach one of the things I teach is media and communication, and with every technology that comes along, there's changes and in the way we think that's created by the mediums we use. For example. With television versus radio versus reading, the attention span goes a little bit with every type of new medium that makes it faster. Obviously, with the internet, none of us has an attention span anymore, and I think that's got a lot to do with it. It's like we don't need the information, we don't need to remember a phone number anymore because it's so easy to look it up. We don't need to remember facts because we've got. We've got Google,
mm-hmm.
so we don't need to know any facts. We've got them right there at our fingertips. On the other hand, we can pull things together so much more quickly mm. than we could in the old.
And it's great for research. You don't have to go to the library stacks anymore. I have one quick story, Dave. I had a dispute one time, an ongoing dispute with a former assistant superintendent of schools. As you know, I taught math. And, of course, she wasn't interested in getting the right answer. That didn't matter. What mattered to her was the collegiality of the students, which I don't understand. I don't even know what that word means. But she was saying the same thing, that you don't have to know the answer. You don't have to memorize number of facts, multiplication tables. You can look them up. And I said, you know what? I'd rather have Captain Sullenberger flying the plane when we're going into the Hudson than you. And, I got my point across. Some things you have to know. And as an educator, it's tough, I'm sure, for you to pick and choose what you have to throw out the window sometimes.
I have no trouble. I throw everything out the window and just give everybody an A. I'm my standings.
I did that with my professional development classes, but that's another story.
imagine what it's going to be like for people in the future when they have to tell people, yeah, back when I had to call people, I had to touch one button. Yeah. Now, you kids, you've got it easy. All you've got to do is say the name.
Oh, I know. It's incredible. Hey, the other thing, Dave, we were talking in our pregame warm-up here about getting the crank calls and the scam calls, and they're getting more and more sophisticated, aren't they?
Oh, they really are. I got three calls over the weekend telling me that my Social Security was in danger of being canceled.
Of course.
I got something else on the money, and it's crazy. And they're getting better. I mean, it was always remarkable to me that somebody didn't fly to Nigeria and say, tell the scammers, look, I know proper English. I'll put your scam emails into the correct, I'll make them correct grammatically. You will know.
Yeah, there you go. I know. Yeah, you could probably make some money doing that. I just get upset because I hate to get angry with these people because I feel so bad that this is the only job they can get on the one hand. But on the other hand, please stop doing this to me.
You know something? I think that it's one of these jobs that it's like, it's very lucrative. It's very lucrative. And, probably you're at a cocktail party or you're at a cookout and somebody says, so what do you do? And you're like, I'm a scammer. I like to steal from old people. And they'll be like,
I'm familiar with that job. I've dealt with people. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I knew someone like that. But of course in two or three generations, it'll be just like, my great, great, great grandfather was a bootlegger. And
yeah, I suppose. Isn't that funny? Oh, my goodness. Dave, I want to ask you about the last time we talked, you were getting ready for a New Year's Eve show. I can't believe it's been a couple of months already. And that was quite an endeavor logistically, I'm sure. How'd that turn out?
It was great. It was great. I mean, online comedy is kind of an acquired taste. But I thought for online shows, they were both really good. We did it for a number of partners. We did the Gloucester Rotary and we did the MMAS Theater in Mansfield and we did the Comedy Studio and we did Kituit Art Center. And because we had the combined audience, we did well. We got a good audience. We got 200 people. We did two shows and the comics were funny and the people enjoyed themselves and they laughed. And it was a nice way to spend New Year's Eve if you had to be stuck inside.
Yeah. Well, now is
I'm sorry. I got to just say this. Remember when we turned the corner when we left 2020 and everyone said finally 2020 is behind us and now 2021 is going to be so much better.
Oh yeah.
And then January 6th came along and we had our first riot.
Yep.
At the Capitol. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be the banner year.
Oh yeah. Have you seen the goodbye to 2020 video with Samuel L. Jackson?
I don't know. No, I have not.
Oh my God, it's so funny! But you got to see that one. And all of that happened in the first effing month.
Yeah.
I know. We were all looking at that. However, I'm knocking on the wood here. As I mentioned this, it does seem that this is a time of guarded optimism, shall we say?
Yeah, I think guarded is the key word. I started to work on a virtual project and, I knew as soon as I started working on it, good things were going to happen. And then, Governor Baker opened up, 50% capacity, opened up, the state for indoor entertainment. So I knew that it would come along as soon as I started working on something else.
When you, do that. I mean, the last year's experience, Dave, have been, I think you mentioned you got to think outside the box and all of that stuff. Do you think, that there will be some residual leftover stuff that you'll use from this technology or from this remote stuff? And I don't mean in terms of a comedy sketch. I mean in terms of reaching people.
I think so. I think just as a lot of businesses are going to do more satellite stuff, more stuff on video conferencing, I think more education is going to go the same way. I think a lot of professors, and we'll see, but I think a lot of professors are going to, and a lot of colleges will adopt this virtual learning in place of online and face-to-face learning. I think there's going to perhaps you're going to see a little niche of virtual learners out there who check in for class maybe once a week by Zoom, and then do the rest of it and do the rest of their studies like an online class. Mm-hmm. So, kind of a hybrid between now for virtual and online. In entertainment, I it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I mean, we still can't. I guess we, from what I'm told, we can't play music and we can't sing indoors. which will be great for people who go to karaoke bars and don't like karaoke. But I think it'll be, but it's going to be tough for musicians. And, I think it'll be interesting to see too who wants to go out. I mean, how many people are going to leave this pandemic and they're going to say, you know, I like staying home. I like not driving. I like, you know, I'm still nervous about the, about maybe catching COVID, even if it's a small possibility. I've got no money because I've been broke for 2 years.
Wow, that is interesting. And I keep looking on, I sort of surf Facebook for news tips, and there are a couple of restaurant owners in the area who have not been able to open up because they're very small places. And the other thing is, we were out, Friday night. We try to go out to dinner once a week and find a place that's safe. And once we do, we stay at that place. But this place was packed. It was packed on Friday night, and it was very uncomfortable. I don't know if that's because people anticipated Monday opening up again, but most of the restaurants, they're at capacity now because of the 6-foot rule. So I don't know if that's going to change in the near future.
I think people are going to be more. I think what's happened a lot is that local, because the direction from the government has been so confusing, and I think because it's been so confusing, there's been some stuff left to local rule, there's been some stuff that's decided on the state level. There are messages coming from all levels of government that have been kind of confusing. You know, I know that I'm waiting for the vaccine, and I'm not old enough, but I've got, you know, they've got how many comorbidities do I have? I'm an American. I should certainly have 4 or 5. And I've worked hard. I've worked hard for those comorbidities.
Yes, we have.
It takes a lot of work to let your body go as much as I've let it go. And yet, I can't even find out. Well, first, for a long time, I couldn't find out if I had it. It's like, well, if you've got heart problems. Well, it turns out that it's specific types of heart problems. If you've got this. And I'm like, I've got those things. And if I don't have this, I should have it. You know, take another look.
Yeah, really. I know. Anything to get me to the front of the line.
And then once you're eligible, then you can go on, you can go on the website, and you can be confused and frustrated by that. And then, meanwhile, I've got friends who've already had the vaccine, and, you know, one of them is like a cook, and one of them's a tax guy, and the one's got this, and mm-hmm. one's got that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's kind of curious to see who's being prioritized.
Well,
I should just for the sake of being honest about it, the cook works in a nursing home, but, you know.
You didn't have to be honest. It sounded good the other way.
No, it did. It sounded better the other way.
Yeah, full disclosure.
I talked to other people, yeah.
I went online last week, and there were 92,000 people ahead of me. And I said, well, geez, that's reasonable. I could check in probably around the 4th of July. And,
exactly.
And an hour later, it was down to 3 people. You're up next. I said, this is weird. So I went on. And of course, you navigate through this and that and the other thing. You jump through another hole, through another portal. And when you finally get there, it says, there are no more availabilities. Try again next week.
The experience I've had is you'll go and they'll be like, the first one in line will be no availabilities. And then you'll click to the second one, and you have to click down, you have to click into it to find out there are no availabilities on that one. Then you go to the next one, you find that's only for people from Peabody.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God, it's true.
You know, and then we've got we're going to send $1,400 to people. Now we're going to send them $600. Now we're going to send them $14. I don't know. Has that money gone out yet? Because I haven't got it.
I have no idea.
The government has tried to be responsive. I think at the beginning of the pandemic, they were very responsive. I think they got burned by the scammers, by hundreds of millions of dollars. And now, with the election and all of the nonsense that went on from, October to the end of January, you know, I think government slowed down. They had other priorities. They had the election. They had the nomination of the Supreme Court Justice. They had the this is a false election campaign. all of that nonsense and the impeachment, you know, and all of it is time taken away from helping the American people. And I think that's unfortunately we're still waiting for our money, so we'll see if we get it. And now I think there is a question. I mean, there's been a pushback on Governor Baker opening the state to 50%. You know, and I think there was a reasonable argument that maybe we had been locked up a little too tight prior to that.
I know, and it's how do you figure it out? You know, and I just I can imagine some of the things that you guys are going to come up with when we get back to live shows, because you know, I was just thinking how wonderful it's been that the entire world has been working on a vaccine, and they come up with four or five different ones now. And I don't know one from the other, but, you know, a terrific job in doing that. But then which one's right for me? And then, you know, another headline, and I know we didn't talk about this, Dave, so I don't want to catch you off guard. But I did read the other day that the Massachusetts, I think it was the House, voted against transparency rules. They voted against transparency rules. I'm thinking, how can you do that? You know, I talk to Senator Tarr a lot, and Senator Tarr is pushing transparency, because that's a word that gets thrown around from the federal government as well. And it's like, what's all this secret stuff? It just seems to be more and more of it everywhere.
Right. I didn't see that story, so I can't really speak about it. But I find transparency is almost one of those buzzwords that doesn't always mean what it's supposed to mean. I'm speaking very generally, but. So I didn't see it. Well, so transparency in what? Transparency in government? Like every rules, things have got to be declassified? Or
No. It's on votes that they take when they go into committee and all this other stuff, and whether it's up or down and things like that. And they haven't been publishing that. There's been a lot of stuff going on like that. So you don't know, you know, what your representative is doing for you. And, you know, the Rules Committee is trying to, you know, push for that to make sure that we know what the hell's going on. Let me ask you a different question, Dave.
Yep.
Do we have, are there any live shows in the works, or for that matter, any upcoming online shows that we can look for?
I can tell you this. I'm working on something online, a virtual thing. It's going to be just like New Year's Eve. It'll be available under a lot of different theater websites. It's a Beatles revival, a Hard Day's Night revival with a band called Studio 2, which is an early Beatles tribute band. They played the Larkham. They played around all over the place in the last couple of years. And something we put together, and it's still in the development stage. But we're going live on March 30th, and it'll be a live event. It'll be a live on tape event, I guess, is what it'll be.
Okay.
And it's keep posted and check my website, Scamps Comedy. Even though it's not a comedy show, I'll put it up there. And
okay.
And we'll see. We'll see how it's there. We'll see who tunes in. We'll see who likes it.
All right. And final question I have, Dave, is what about school? How are your classes going in terms of all of this? And how are your students reacting and participating?
I feel really badly for students of America right now, because there are so many teachers who have no idea what they're doing. I'm not saying I'm one of them, but, you know, I think I'm one of them. No, I think some students are doing great. I think some students are struggling. I think that the challenge for professors right now, and probably high school teachers and teachers at other levels, is that people feel untethered. I mean, the hours of the day don't matter as much as they used to. Nobody's going anywhere except maybe to their part-time job. The sense of community and attachment that people have, you know, you've got a classroom at college. You're supposed to be there every day at whatever time it is. So let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 o'clock. I teach a virtual course, and those students have done pretty well. They're kind of tuned in, and they're there, which is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being there in college, and I mean being there physically and mentally, is incredibly important, because even if you fall behind a little bit, even if you've got some questions, if you're there, some of the questions will you know, will clear up. You know, you can obviously always ask the teacher, but a lot of students don't do it because they feel like I'm the only one who doesn't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And and in fact, there might be 5 kids in the class that don't understand. Or if it's in my class, it could be 25 kids in the class.
Yeah, that's what I'm familiar with. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel badly for kids that are going to school, although obviously some have done really well. I was just talking to a former student of mine yesterday, and she said that she loved online learning. She was taking 6 classes, and she was basically acing all of them. She's a Dean's List student, but, you know, she found for her, it just worked. Mm-hmm. And, I think that a lot of teachers, you know, were told one way or another last spring to go easy. And I know that even though that was taken off in the fall, I know a lot of teachers like myself would just say, you know, this is a tough time. You got to cut students a break at this time in our history. You may want to make sure they learn, but you don't want to be a stickler for every little
thing
that you might in a typical classroom. I mean, I had students in finals time last year that had COVID.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm those are kids I'm going to give a break to. I had somebody who lost their sister.
Oh, boy.
I had people who lost their parents. And it's just, it's you know, other things that we don't necessarily think about and some things I confidential I can't really share. But it's a tough time. So I think teachers generally, not all from what I'm hearing, but a lot of teachers are, you know, bending over backwards to try and give kids the benefit of the doubt, students the benefit of the doubt. And there are, like I said, some students are thriving, but some I think are really still in that phase where they're just, you know, they're not connecting. They're not doing the things that you want them to do. And most of it is just, you know, it's just like regular school. I mean, you know, do your homework, do the reading, do all the things you don't feel like doing, do all the things that you want to put off. But in class, at least when you had them in class, they had to show up and you could see them and they could, you know, they could sometimes make friends and they could, you know, have that person who's sitting next to them who's going to say, yeah, this is, you know, this is how you do this, or I had that question too, or all that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting when we come out the other side. So many things are going to be welcomed back, but so many things are going to have changed permanently, I think. And it's going to be interesting to take note of that. Dave, this is fun. It's always a pleasure, man. We'll do it again, but I'm not going to wait 2 months again, okay?
That's fine with me.
All right. That's Dave Radigan, educator and owner of Comedy Scamps Comedy Productions. I'll get it right. Dave Radigan, comedian and owner of Scamps Comedy Productions. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.